This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are going to get to some seriously interesting stuff with Julie Kelly here about 30 minutes from now. Is that what it is, Chris? 30 minutes or so? I knew I nailed that, Chris. I knew I nailed it. It's an anathema for me. That's a word that I learned today, and I don't really know the meaning of it yet. But I've decided I'm going to start anathemizing a lot of things because it's a word that makes you sound smart. And when you use big words, they make you sound smart and people will feel like you're superior to them. And that's really what I want out of life. So quit being anathema, Chris. Wait a minute, is it an anathema? That's probably quit being anathema. It's just anathema? Well, I'm anathema. That's what I know. That's all I know, right? All I know is
Buenas tardes.
Now, let's discuss something. Let's do a little digging into it. There's four headlines. I'm looking at them all. Target loses $10 billion in value in just 10 days. Disney stock is down 33% since the CEO instigated a feud with DeSantis. Kohl's, you know, the store Kohl's. I feel terrible. The wife just went to Kohl's, I think, last week because it was always a good, cheap place to buy stuff. She was sickened today when she saw they're doing a heavy, heavy Pride Month stuff, LGBTQ toddler stuff. Kohl's is apparently really bad. And you remember we talked about the Dodgers and the things the Dodgers are doing. So you know all that. You know all that. Now, why? There's a bunch of different reasons why. One of the main reasons is the HR departments of corporations. HR departments are filled with the most evil creatures on the planet, liberal white women. So that's a big part of it. That's a huge part of it. Another part of it is corporate boardrooms. They're not all a bunch of hardened businessmen in suits now smoking cigarettes and drinking Manhattans at noon while they break down the latest profit loss sheets. Lots of these people are communists themselves. But there's a bigger part of this, and it's stuff we've talked about before, so this isn't going to be shocking to longtime listeners, but it's a refresher to longtime listeners and a real big heads up to people on why you see this. Why is it everywhere? Why is it so pervasive? Why do they have to put lesbians in the newest Disney movie? Why do the Dodgers have drag queens twerking on a cross? Why does Target have chess binders sitting in the front of the store? And not only why do the CEOs of these companies come out and back these efforts so loudly when these efforts hurt business? They're aware it hurts business. Trust me, they're aware. Why? Well, we're going to begin with Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, remember, for you new folks, he's the head of the World Economic Forum, a majorly powerful and influential organization where the elite of the elite, business leaders, political leaders, where they gather. Yes, that's right, Chris. He's the one that sounds like a Bond villain. He does, and he really does. He talks about, you're going to hear him bring up something called stakeholders. You've heard of shareholders, right? Who are shareholders? Well, anyone who owns shares in a publicly traded company. If Bank of America is publicly traded, and it is, and I own shares in Bank of America, then that would make me a shareholder. But Klaus Schwab doesn't really talk about shareholders. He focuses on stakeholders.
We are confronted with so many crises simultaneously. What does it need to master the future? I think to have a platform where all stakeholders of global society are engaged.
Stakeholders. Huh. It's an interesting word, isn't it? What is a stakeholder? Well, here's what a stakeholder is. I mentioned Bank of America. They're one of the most detestable organizations, so I'll just go ahead and use them as an example. And let's say I'm CEO of Bank of America. I, in a traditional sense, I have a responsibility. If I'm on the board, if I'm on the CEO, I have a responsibility, and frankly, only one responsibility. Everybody who's a shareholder of Bank of America, my job as CEO is to make those people money. Period. End of story. If you have bought shares in a Bank of America, it is my job to make you richer tomorrow than you are today. There's an old saying in business that goes, the CEO is only as good as his last quarter. Why? They go over your last quarter, profits up or are profits down, Mr. CEO. That traditionally, that's how CEOs, that's how corporate boardrooms have been run. Show me the profits. Don't care what else. Show me the profits. Well, there's an article out today, very fascinating article. I never do this, but I actually highlighted some things for it. I liked it so much. And I thought it would be very revealing for you to hear from the horse's mouth. The article itself is in the Daily Mail. The article was written by someone named Anson Frericks. Don't worry about that name. Doesn't matter. What you need to know is he's a former executive at Anheuser-Busch. And he talks about a lot in this article, but he specifically goes into what he calls the calculus of running a major corporation. Here's why these major corporations will routinely wreck their own bottom line. There are three, well, there's more than three, but the three largest and most influential financial institutions in U.S. history, he lays them out in this article, are BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And I want you to brew on this for a moment. Let's pause on this for a moment. BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. You know what those three organizations have in common? Not only are they the most influential financial institutions out there, but your neighbor, Normie Norm, has never heard of any of them. He doesn't even know they exist. He mentions in this article, those three companies alone, they control more than $20 trillion in assets. Do you understand how staggering that is? Controlling $20 trillion in assets, the American economy is a $20 trillion economy. They control the number in assets, the number of our economy. That's how much in assets these companies control, and Normie Norm doesn't even know they exist. But wait, there's more. Okay, so you have these three financial giants. What does that mean? How does that translate to Target and B of A and Bud Light? Well, the big three, they are also, just like Klaus Schwab, big pushers of stakeholder capitalism. Stakeholder capitalism, meaning instead of me trying to enrich my board members, my shareholders, well, I have to try to help all stakeholders. Now, what does that mean? What does Klaus Schwab mean? What does the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, mean when he says he has to force
things? Behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
What kind of behavior? Well, as B of A, I don't stress about my shareholders. I stress about too much carbon in the environment. So as B of A, maybe I won't give out that loan that small trucking company needs. After all, they're doing diesel, putting diesel in the air. What else do stakeholders need? Well, of course, the stakeholders, well, of course, the horribly oppressed LGBTQ community. So those stakeholders, even though they're not shareholders in my company, those stakeholders, they need me to take all kinds of that money that I got from my shareholders, and they need me to run a $50 million gay campaign for the month of June. That's what a stakeholder would want. A stakeholder? You know what else a stakeholder would want? He would want me to take $50 million as Bank of America and give it to Black Lives Matter so those communists could embezzle it, which of course they did. That's what a stakeholder would want. Stakeholders want these things. Now, a stakeholder doesn't need to be invested in B of A. For me, as the CEO to B of A, to care about the stakeholders. But that doesn't fully explain why yet. Well, you should know, as he lays out in this article, in 2003, 2019, that's why all this stuff is ramped up, a group of CEOs from America's largest companies adopted a new statement of purpose. I'm reading this verbatim. A new statement of purpose declaring all companies share a fundamental commitment to all of our stakeholders to promote a larger good. You know how many American CEOs signed on to that agreement? 188 of them. From J.P. Morgan to Bank of America to Target to Disney to Coca-Cola, Nike, Calvin Klein, North Face, all of them, they're all in there. But even that doesn't complete the explanation. As CEO of Bank of America, I like money, don't I? I'm a big money fan. What's the point of going through all that stress getting in the corporate world if I'm not going to make money? I want a Mercedes and I want a dime of a wife and I want an in-ground pool. Well, why would I do this then? I will finish that in just a moment. Then we'll get to Julie Kelly. Now, I just want to, again, return back to this really quickly. I'm not changing the subject. Well, I kind of am. I want to know, do you want to sound like this?
I think that when you're looking for conservatism and common sense.
That's Republican Jason Smith of Missouri explaining why the debt ceiling deal is as good as we can get. Jason Smith needs a chalk box. You can tell from his voice. This is a human being. I mean, my goodness, T levels are down 50% in 50 years.
I think that when you're looking for conservatism.
The longer you play this, you can hear your T levels are probably dropping the longer I play it.
I think that when you're looking for conservatism.
He needs a male vitality stack from Chalk. All natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. His voice will change. He'll find himself standing up for the things that you believe and I believe. You need one too. We all need one. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a big Tuesday. We got Julie Kelly coming up soon, breaking down the why. Why do corporations continue this endless push of all this communist filth, endless amounts of all the quote, Black Lives Matter crap and the LGBTQ crap and the why? Okay, so we went over the CEOs signing on to this pledge. We went over the three largest financial institutions controlling things, controlling $20 trillion in assets. We went over that. You can't understand where we are without understanding that BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard are hugely in control. Now, that goes back to the CEO, though. If I'm a CEO, if I'm on a board of a company, I'm on, this doesn't apply to Bud Light because they're a European country, but let's just use that one because that's the biggest example. If I'm Bud Light's CEO, why would I ever throw a tranny on my beer can when any normal person would know that's going to turn off my main customer base, which are heterosexual males? That's going to turn them off. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to drink the, quote, gay beer with their buddies. They don't want the social stigma that comes with it. Why would I do it? I'm supposed to care about money, right? I'm glad you brought that up. They do care about money. Not only do these huge three financial institutions, not only do they replace board members with board members who will actually seek to destroy their own company. By the way, case in point, he lays out in this article, listen to this. In 2021, they voted to replace ExxonMobil board members with climate experts who immediately sought to reduce the oil giant's exploration and drilling output to meet climate goals. They put climate change nutballs on the corporate board of ExxonMobil. They put people on ExxonMobil's board that would stop drilling, that were against oil. He says here, audits, they do race equity audits at places like Apple and Home Depot, compelling companies to impose race-based hiring criteria, all that diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why does the CEO go along with it and promote it? One, they probably put him there. Two, money. You see, I've never lived this life. I'm sure we have some corporate big shot CEOs who listen to the show, but the chances are you have never lived this life. But when you're a CEO of a major company, yes, there's all kinds of pressure, and yes, there's all kinds of different things you have to deal with, but there is something that does make it, I assume, all worth it. Money. A lot of it. What kind of money? Well, it's going to depend from company to company, but picture this. Picture not only making $10 million a year as a base salary. That would be nice, right? Could probably get by on $10 million a year. Chris, you probably get by on $10 million a year. Probably do okay, right? Picture this. Picture a bonus at the end of the year of $20 million. A $20 million bonus. And they go up from there significantly. I'm just using this as an example. But wait. You thought that $20 million was going to be based on company profits and performance? No, what do you think this is? 1990? The year 2000? It's the year 2023. The CEO, if he doesn't run out there, if you're the CEO of Disney and you don't run out there right away and rail against Florida passing a law saying, please don't tell my kindergartner to cut his penis off, if you don't say anything publicly, they'll take your bonus away. Profits, no profits, doesn't matter. The money is in going along with the agenda. According to this one, and he says right here in the article, according to one study, a shocking 73% of S&P 500 companies now tie executive compensation to ESG measures. See, you thought me as CEO of Bank of America, you thought I was worried about profits? You thought I was worried about my shareholders? You want to know what I'm worried about? CEO of B of A? That's actually hard to say really fast. It's anathema to me, Chris. What? Anyway, you want to know what I'm worried about? Well, go right now. You can do it on your phone. If you're not driving, don't do this if you're driving. Go right now and look up Bank of America's ESG page. They have a specific ESG page. Go look at it. Go look at what they lay out on there. Chris is doing it right now. Oh, you're going to love this, Chris. You're going to enjoy all the charts. You're going to enjoy how equal, how diverse, how equitable they are. You're going to enjoy all those things. And you should know they have that on their page because that's what determines, as CEO of B of A, that's what determines if I get my big fat $20 million bonus check at the end of the year. Either I'm taking my old lady down to the Caribbean to a very nice hotel for a week, or we're going to go hop on the company private jet and live it up in the Italy or wherever rich people go vacation on a private jet. $20 million bonus check. For $20 million bonus check, maybe I'll go along with a lot of things, huh? Yeah, Chris said he's reading it right on there. Stakeholders, sustainability, human capital management. And the most damaging thing, like I said, is your neighbor, Normie Norm, doesn't even know what BlackRock is, doesn't know what State Street is, doesn't know what Vanguard is. In the meantime, they're having their behaviors forced. Why isn't this playing?
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are.
Mm-hmm. I've got a behavior you need to force. You need to force other people to treat you with respect and keep their hands off of you. And in this society, since there are clearly a bunch of drugged out violent lunatics, that doesn't happen very often. So you need to get yourself a hero gun. You need to get your daughter a hero gun or a hero arrow. You need to get your father a hero gun or a hero arrow. Father's Day is coming up. And if whether your old man is a gun guy or not, I'm a gun guy. I carry a hero arrow on me as well all the time. I love having a non-lethal option on me. Non-lethal. It's not a gun. Shoots pepper balls or pepper gel, depending on whether you buy the arrow or the gun. It'll stop a bad guy in his tracks. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse. Go get one for the person you love. People need to keep their hands off you. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now, as promised, my friend, senior writer for American Greatness, Julie Kelly, who's been all over the reporting on D.C., the political persecutions, the hornet's nest Trump is going to be going into because this special counsel. Julie, what's the latest and greatest from that sinkhole?
Oh, boy. Let's see, Jesse. Well, I have to go with the 18-year sentence for Stuart Rhodes that was handed down by Obama-appointed Judge Amit Mehta. Stuart Rhodes is the founder of the Oath Keepers, convicted by a D.C. jury of seditious conspiracy. DOJ Matthew Graves, the D.C. U.S. attorney, asked for 25 years in prison, a prison sentence usually reserved for violent repeat offenders, not a nonviolent, no matter how crazy you think Stuart Rhodes is, nonviolent guy who didn't even go inside the Capitol building on January 6th. So, Jesse, as you and I have talked about, the ratcheting up of seditious conspiracy convictions and now excessive harsh sentences will bolster Special Counsel Jack Smith's attempt to seek the same indictment, seditious conspiracy, against Donald Trump, because the government has tied both of these groups to Donald Trump and what happened on January 6th.
Okay. Julie, can you make this connection for those of us, meaning me, who don't understand this legally? How does that set Trump up for more trouble than was anticipated? How does that work?
Well, seditious conspiracy, as it sounds, is a very rare charge, a Civil War era statute that's comparable to treason. Now, you and I have talked about this for over a year. I felt strongly that DOJ would indict Trump on things like obstruction of an official proceeding, regular conspiracy, tampering with evidence, etc. But now that these seditious conspiracy convictions, exceedingly rare, first time Americans have been convicted and then sentences based on terrorism enhancements, the fact that the Oath Keepers were there to provide security for Trump associates like Roger Stone, the fact that the Proud Boys are tied to Trump in a legitimate way, but his offhanded comment during the 2020 presidential debate, Proud Boys stand back and stand by, that they were there as Trump supporters. It doesn't take a lot or any evidence to convince a D.C. grand jury or trial jury to do anything when it comes to Trump supporters or certainly the former president himself. But look, evidence doesn't matter. Rule of law doesn't matter. Due process doesn't matter. None of the usual things that we believe should happen in the judicial and legal system in this country are happening in Washington, D.C. It's a banana republic, and they want to take aim and indict Trump to disable him even further as he runs for president in 2024.
Okay, Julie, I'm going to ask another really dumb question, but look, you know me by now. That's not exactly surprising.
Never.
Again, we're speaking with Julie Kelly of American Greatness. Okay, can't they move the trial? Again, I'm not a lawyer, but why does this have to take place in D.C.? Can't it be moved to somewhere where Trump might be able to get a fair trial?
That is actually, surprisingly, Jesse, a very good question. Once in a while. Listen, it's funny. I just gave an interview today and someone asked, what should Donald Trump and his team be doing? And I said, the only thing they can do right now is prepare a very strong change of venue motion for when he's indicted. That's his only hope to have any sort of fair trial. But look, every single judge in Washington, D.C., Republican and Democrat appointed judge, has denied change of venue motions for every single case, including high-profile trials like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, which never should have been conducted in Washington, D.C. So as Trump's legal team prepares for the inevitable, I think that's the only thing they can do is start researching the near-perfect conviction rate, all the unfair shenanigans, dirty tricks that DOJ is pulling, and hope that some judge, whoever it's assigned to, will be the first to consent to a change of venue motion in a January 6th case.
Good grief. Okay, Julie, what kind of time frame are we looking at? Now, I know you mentioned that they're going to try to mess up his presidential campaign. When's this indictment coming? When's the trial coming? I know you don't know a lot of these things. You're guessing on some, but you have a better idea than a lot. What are we looking at? When should I prep myself for all this?
Yes, let's be preppers here. So there's going to be two sets of indictments because Jack Smith is looking at both the classified documents investigation and January 6th. I believe that the classified documents, any indictments, those will come first. So that could be in June or into early July. The January 6th multi-count felony indictment will probably come down late summer, early fall. But look, the DOJ has no guardrails, so they're going to issue these indictments at the most politically opportune time that they can, meaning either bury bad news for the Biden regime or really, you know, stick the knife in deeper to Donald Trump. But let's say that they do indict and they don't do a change of venue motion. You could be talking about serious hearings, jury selection, et cetera, happening in the late stages of the 2024 general election. And this is probably exactly what the Biden regime and especially DOJ want to happen.
You're telling me that Donald Trump might be sitting in an on trial for a felony during the presidential campaign against Joe Biden? Is that what you're trying to say?
There's a very strong possibility that that will be the case. My guess is that they are going to want to move the trial, all these proceedings, a lot faster than they have in other cases like the Proud Boys. They're not going to seek delays, additional indictments, additional defendants, certainly. So they are going to probably try to move this through pretty quickly in the D.C. District Court. Of course, there will be lots of motions filed by Trump's team, change of venue, any stays if a judge does deny a change of venue. So there'll be lots of motions flying back and forth. But look, I put nothing past this Department of Justice and nothing past the judges who are the real villains here. They are all in cahoots. These judges are a rubber stamp. They're going to give Jack Smith, like they have, all of these secret D.C. grand jury proceedings, you know, interviewing everyone from the maid at Mar-a-Lago to Vice President Michael Pence, piercing executive privilege for Trump and everyone around him in this unprecedented erosion of executive privilege protections. These prosecutors, this regime has gotten away with everything, and it's certainly not going to change when it comes to their ultimate target, which is Donald Trump.
Okay, Julie, it's just one more question here, because I'm really curious. You've mentioned before that some of these judges, you mentioned they're the villains, some of these judges are Trump judges? What happened? Why do our judges suck? What?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the worst, I would say the top three worst, is Judge Tim Kelly, who was appointed by Trump in 2017. He has been absolutely horrific. He has violated his oath of office to protect the rights of the defendants in his care, denying release repeatedly for men charged with nonviolent felonies with no criminal records, men who are veterans. One man who is a twice over Purple Heart recipient who was helping the FBI. This is the sort of judge, and look, his other judges are no better, but Tim Kelly is among the worst on the D.C. District Court, but certainly the worst Trump nominee, Trump appointed judge to this court.
Julie Kelly, go read her stuff at American Greatness. My goodness. Julie, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Look, we've talked about some of that before, so you're probably not as shocked as Normie Norm is going to be, but just, I even knew this stuff was coming. I'm just envisioning this. I'm sitting here envisioning this, how brazen, and you know they'll do it, how brazen it would be to have Donald Trump on trial during the, if he was the nominee, if he wins the nomination, during the campaign against Joe Biden or Gavin Newsom, whoever the nominee is going to be. What? All right. Anyway, we're moving on. We're going to get back to some emails. We have to talk about Uganda. Yeah, hold on a second. I'll explain why in a moment. Before we talk about Uganda, let's have a serious talk about your towels. Because you're cheating yourself. You're not cheating me. I don't feel cheated. You're cheating yourself with your towels. You need to switch to a MyPillow six-piece towel set. All USA cotton. They're not only the most gloriously soft towels ever, they're only $25 right now. They're normally, for the six-piece set, it's normally $99.98. You get a six-piece towel set for $25, but you have to use the promo code Jesse. You have to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call them 800-845-0544. Stop drying off with your garbage towels. It's time to upgrade, and upgrade for $25. You might want to get a couple sets. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I've got more about turning you into an enemy of the state in about 10 minutes from now. We'll get to that. I do want to get to some emails. That was an eye-opener from Julie Kelly, huh? What? A trial during a presidential campaign? Okay. All right, let's get to some emails. Remember, you can email your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hello, Jesse. I'm 11, and I just finished a book about the atomic bombs in World War II. I now see how cool history is in World War II. I found it fascinating about the OSS, Robert Oppenheimer, and the Soviet spies trying to get the bomb. Can you please do a little history of the uranium and plutonic bombs? His name is Nate. Nate, my man, getting into history. By the way, I should note, I've been told that this new movie coming out, Oppenheimer, about all this, I've been told it's really, really good by someone who got to see it early. What, Chris? Why do you have to pour cold water all over every... What is your problem? I know he's still a commie, Chris. It might be good. It's about older stuff. You can't have very much of the current climate change crap or the LGBTQ crap or... No, they can't. No, not with history. Why do you ruin everything for me, Chris? Anyway, by the way, people think they're not into history. Never believe someone when they say they're not into history. Maybe you say this. I don't like history. I'm not a big history fan. You love history. You just don't know it. Do you love drama, action, stories? Everybody loves these things. What you don't know is the kind of history you love. You do love it. You just haven't been introduced to the part of it you love, probably because you had a bunch of very boring history teachers in school, like most of us did, who stand up in front of the class and they'll read names and dates. And then on April 6, 1947, General Wainwright went and visited General Johnson back east. Oh my gosh. Your whole life, that's how you've been taught history. But there's all kinds of history. It doesn't have to be the history I love. And there's different periods of time. Maybe you're an ancient history guy or girl. Maybe you love art history. Tons of that out there. Music history. Maybe you love the history of a specific reason. Maybe you want to dig into France and you want to go all the way back when they were Gaul. Maybe you like the history of some countries that we don't like anymore, like Russia. Russia has an incredible history. Russian history is long. That country's old, clear back to the Rus and the other tribes that are on there. Maybe you love war history specifically. You love history. You do. You just don't know it yet. All you have to do is go exploring for it. That's all you have to do. Hey, Jesse, I live in Minnesota, and if you pay attention, they are destroying this beautiful state. My woman is a full-blown anti-communist, yet I'm having a hard time convincing her at some point we need to go. We have both Dakotas and Iowa as we love the four seasons. I'm Iowa/South Dakota. We have our dream house that we went through hell to get. I understand her resistant to bailing. Any advice I could use to change her mind? It only gets worse from here. Been together 17 years. Well, obviously you got to hang on to your dime. Maybe this will help her. I played this for you earlier. I'm going to play it for you again. You're hearing a law student graduating from CUNY Law in New York, but that's the wrong thing to hear. What you need to hear is this is the future of the legal system in your blue area. Remember, we just talked to Julie Kelly. She was talking about Washington, D.C., how there's no law at all. There are no more rules. There are no more laws. Stop living in the past. Do you want to live in an area where the judges, DAs, juries talk like this.
To recognize that the law is a manifestation of white supremacy that continues to oppress and suppress people in this nation and around the world. We joined this institution to be equipped with the necessary legal skills to protect our communities, to protect the organizers fighting endlessly day in and out with no accolades, no cameras, no votes, no PhD grants, working to lift the facade of legal neutrality and confront the systems of oppression that wreak violence on them. Systems of oppression created to feed an empire with a ravenous appetite for destruction and violence.
Roll your eyes all you want. That's the stuff Normie Norm needs to hear. And as I've explained, like we've talked about national divorce before, people will scoff at the idea because it's not actually going to happen. They're not going to sit down at a table and agree to split up the country. But national divorce is coming. It is. I don't care whether you like that or whether you hate that. There's no stopping it because there's no stopping human migration. The numbers of people who fled places like California and New York over the last 2 years, it's not only staggering, that number is going to increase as the blue areas, the commie areas, are completely unhinged now with nothing holding them back. There is nothing holding the full-blown communists back. Because of that, they are going to pass law after law after law. They're going to destroy faster than you can possibly imagine. And if I brought up the most unbelievably horrific thing to you right now that would make you roll your eyes and say, Jesse, there's no way they would do it. Within 10 years, it'll be law in places like California. And therefore, people will leave. Normal people are going to get out. And that only makes the situation actually worse, but there's no way stopping it because the place will get even bluer and bluer and bluer. Human beings will not live under this, not without end. They will leave. Human migration is a thing. You can study it throughout history. We were just talking about history. Why did the Huns, you know Attila the Hun, right? But why did the Huns ever even get into contact with Rome? Did you know there's a large amount of evidence the Huns as a people were fleeing other bigger, deadlier tribes from the Asian steppe? Human migration. Humans leave bad situations and they go to situations where they want to live. Period. End of story. Whether you like that or not, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether I like it. It doesn't matter whether you like it. It's coming. Now, let's talk about you being an enemy of the state. You got to love how the system works. Got some great evidence of that. Let's also talk about you making some preparations. Preparing for rocky times. Crazy times. Saw what happened with the debt ceiling. These people are never going to stop until we're wiped out. Do you have physical gold or physical silver? I'm talking gold coins, silver coins. I'm not talking about bars either. Something you can spend, something you can purchase goods and services with if you have to. Do you have gold or silver in your retirement, in your 401k or IRA? Or is that whole thing just sitting there in the market ready to go bop when the market goes? Call Oxford Gold Group. I love these guys, man. They're wonderful people. They're wonderful to work with. They will take good care of you. I promise they will. Call 833-995-GOLD. Just tell them I told you to call, man. Look, they take care of my family. They take care of me. They'll take care of you. 833-995-GOLD. Call Oxford Gold Group and get yourself protected tonight. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.